This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer. Turn and tell somebody I'm a doer. I'm a doer. I'm a doer. I'm a doer. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. And my life will be the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles and we will continue in our discussion on how to live free from worry. Because we've learned in the last session that it is not the will of God for you or for me to be tormented by worry. Amen. And if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And we will look there and we will also look at other passages of scripture concerning God's will for me to be free from worry. God does not want me to be worried. We'll start at verse 6 in Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, let's turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we will look at a passage of scripture there where Jesus taught the disciples that they did not have to live a life tormented by worry. Amen. Of course, we do know that those who are viewing us by way of television, that they get their Bibles and they study along with us. So they are part of what we call the TV congregation.
Amen.
Amen. See, I pastor the TV congregation and I pastor the visible congregation. You guys see right now. All right. You have that? Matthew chapter 6, and let's start with verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's an anxious thought, an anxious thought. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What you shall put on, it is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment. Now, what the scripture here is not saying is that you should not put on anything or you should not eat anything. It's saying don't be worried about it.
Amen.
Don't become frustrated about it.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's saying. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So I learned just from reading that much that worry is a sign of being little in faith, having little faith. Amen? All right. Therefore, take no thought, no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of, knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All right, we shared with you from the word of God that it is not God's will for you to worry. Worry is a number one killer. It causes people to have ulcers, to have heart attacks, to have strokes. And it's, you know, worry is a dangerous thing. And God does not want his people, his children, worried. Right here in the Bible, he said you don't have to.
Amen.
All right, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we will continue where we left off this morning as we began to give you a step-by-step procedure on how to be free and what to do when the challenges of life come upon you. Because the Bible does declare that when we are saved, we are not then totally excused from the challenges of life. There are challenges in this life. And you have to know how to face the challenges in this life. But worrying will not solve your problems.
Amen.
Worrying is not the solution to your challenge.
Amen.
All right. Verse 5, chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All right. In another translation of the Word of God, this scripture is written like this. Cast once and for all the whole of your care upon the Lord, because he cares for you. Once and for all. Just do it once and for all. Now, when we're talking about living free from worry, we are not saying that a person should have a do nothing, care nothing attitude.
Amen.
Because that's laziness.
Amen. Amen.
And we're not fostering laziness or irresponsibility.
Amen.
We're saying that you can keep your mind free from worry so that you can find the solution to your problem.
All right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying you walk around here like some flake saying, I don't have a care. I don't have a care. And your lights off. Your lights off. You don't have any food. You run around here with holes in your shoes. I mean, I'm not talking about like that.
Amen.
You know, that's not what I'm talking. I'm saying that you can, when the challenges of life come upon you, you can learn how to take the Word of God, keep your mind free from being worried, so you won't get in depression, so your mind can be free to receive information and inspiration, so you can do something about your problem.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying now? Hallelujah. All right. I'm not saying that a person should not be concerned about a situation. And there is a difference between being concerned and being worried. When a person is concerned, that means that he is then looking at the situation. You have to deal with circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. But the way to deal with circumstances is not to worry about them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You understand what I'm saying? All right. Well, let's give just a very brief review so we can bring everybody up to date. We said the word is a reaction to what we believe might be a negative outcome of our situation. So when I think the outcome will be disastrous, that it will cause me to worry. Worry is a signal that I am weak in spirit in that area, or weak in faith. Now, this is a problem that most people don't want to look at, because they don't want to face the fact that there could be a point where, even though you may be strong in faith in another area, that there could be a situation or a part of the Word of God that you are not fully persuaded on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, a lot of people think that worry is conditional, or worry has to do with circumstances. So they believe that if the circumstances were changed, then they would be free from worry.
Mm-hmm.
So they change husbands, change wives, change jobs, and they only find out that they've got something with the new husband to worry about, with the new wife to worry about, with the new job to worry about, because worry has nothing to do with circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right, so then, what is the cause of worry? We said worry is like a symptom. Just as a runny nose is a symptom of a cold germ being present, so is worry a symptom or a sign that a person has a spiritual problem. And you can be in church, you can be on your way to heaven, ready to get your golden slippers and all the other paraphernalia that you think you're going to get when you get to heaven, and you can worry right here on earth.
Amen. Amen.
Because unless you are fully persuaded that God will do for you as he promised he would do, then you're going to worry.
Amen. All right.
You're going to think that you will not have the desired outcome. So then worry is a problem with the spirit. Now, we'll just refresh you real quick. We are spirit. We live in a body, and we have a soul. You are a spirit man. You are a spirit man. And it is the spirit part of you that will live on eternally. So you're going to live eternally whether you live in hell or whether you live in heaven. You're going to live eternally.
Amen.
It's not a matter of whether you're going to live. It's a matter of where you're going to live eternally.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Now, when a person receives Jesus as Lord, spiritually something happens. His spirit man becomes alive to the things of God. You see, a lot of you sitting here tonight, and probably several years ago, you probably never thought that you would be, you know, enjoying doing the things of God as you enjoy right now.
Amen.
And it is because your spirit has become alive to God. God is spirit, and they that worship him, they that commune with him, must do so in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Now, when I am saved, I am, something happens to me spiritually. I know you've heard people say they look at their hands and their hands look new, feet look new, and all of the other things that you hear them say religiously, but that is not physically the case. You do not physically change when you get saved immediately. Now, of course, a spiritual change will ultimately bring some outward change. If a man, you know, did not think much of himself when he was unsaved and would not shave, would not fix himself up, and then he gets the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he then, you know, thinks more of himself, he understands his body is now a temple of the Holy Ghost, he will then begin to do those things necessary to cause himself to be presentable as a witness before the world. Shaving, cleaning up, and all the other things that you ought to do so that you can look nice. All right? But it was not the immediate act of salvation that caused that. He had to do that. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
But the Bible says that I become a new creature. What becomes new is my spirit becomes alive to the things of God. That is really important, because if when I am worried, that means that I have a spiritual problem. Because worry is the absence of peace in my heart. John chapter 14, you can turn there briefly. John chapter 14, we hear it read at a lot of funerals. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus was telling them that the key to being free from worry, to being free from troubled heart meaning spirit, to have a heart free from trouble, a spirit free from trouble, he said, it's a matter of what you're going to believe. Worry is believing in negative information.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So then, when I understand it's a matter of my spirit, what I choose to believe in my spirit, then I've got to do something in my spirit, man, if I will be free from worry. So then, chemicals in my physical man will not cause me to be free from worry. Because I've had reports of people who say they take that dumb medicine and all it does is make them dream about their problems. You know, they shoot up, you know, and then when they come down, they still got the same problem.
Amen.
And another problem, because they just spent the last money for the shoot up.
Amen.
So it's not a physical thing. We have to understand that if you'll be wise. So then it's a spiritual thing. I'm a spirit person. I was made to commune with God. I was made to commune with God. That's why I was made. I was made to commune with God, and God made me so that I could exist happy and enjoy living here on planet Earth. Now, to show you that you're a spirit man, what happens at death is your spirit leaves this physical body. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. So then I've got to do something about this spirit man if I'll be free from worry. Number one, I've got to get this spirit man on right relation with God. Now, I get my spirit man in right relation with God, and I become right with God not by going through some religious ritual.
Amen.
Not by trying to keep the law. But I get right with God by owning up to him as he's my Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. This is how I began to get my spirit man in tune with God. So that I can be free from worry. I've got to get right with God. I've got to become righteous. Righteous means to be in right standing.
Hallelujah.
And I become righteous not by an outward, you know, reformation, but by an inward change. When spiritually I say, all right, I understand that I'm a spirit being now and I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And to be saved means that God has some promises for me. All right, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 tells me that if I would confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart, in my spirit, in my heart, not my blood pump, but in my heart that God raised him from the dead. What does that mean? In my spirit, I accept the truth. I accept the truth that Jesus has already died and paid the price for my sins. So then I don't have to feel guilty anymore.
Amen.
All the skeletons in my closet don't bother me anymore, because I know God's not mad with me.
Amen.
They've all been forgiven. It is as though God took the eraser, the divine eraser, and just erased the blackboard. And there's nothing on it. It's clean now.
Amen.
It is as though he called up my report on the computer, and then he did whatever was necessary to destroy the old file, and now I got a new file. Hallelujah. That's shouting stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
Now, what that does, immediately, that frees me from guilt. I don't have to worry about feeling that God's going to get me anymore.
Amen.
I no longer see him with a billy club, you know, and a black book ready to pop me upside the head for something I did in the past, because the Bible tells me he makes a promise to me that he will forgive me of all my sins, and he will remember my sins no more.
Amen.
So all right, when I do that, that frees my mind up from thinking that it's God trying to get me. Now, that doesn't wipe away all my problems, because there is a devil. There is an evil one in the earth realm. John chapter 10 and verse 10. And this is where we have our challenge, and everybody has their challenge. Whether you're an unbeliever or whether you are a believer, the devil is out to kick your head.
Amen. Amen.
You know, some people have the idea, well, I won't get saved. I won't be a Christian. And that way I can be free from the, no. He doesn't leave you alone because you're not a Christian.
Amen.
I mean, you know, well, they just drive him down the street. In certain areas, you can see that. I mean, people who are godless doesn't mean that they're going to live happy.
Amen.
Because he doesn't care. He hates everything made in the image of God. You were made in the image of God, and the devil hates you, and his whole job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy you.
Amen. Amen.
And he's not satisfied until you ain't around.
Amen. That's it. That's it.
All right? So as believers, we have to face the challenges of the enemy. He comes in to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. So I understand then the challenge that I am going through is not because God is mad with me. It is because in this earth realm, the devil is free, and he will try to intimidate those that he can.
Amen. Amen.
He is like a roaring lion, the Bible says, who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom, that means he can't devour everybody.
Amen.
But those who are ignorant of the word of God, yes, he can devour them.
Hallelujah.
And he doesn't devour them like you really think. The devil doesn't have a pitchfork and a red suit.
Amen.
He wars with you in the arena of your mind.
Amen. Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes. All right.
Hallelujah. He wars with you in your thought life.
Amen.
And he can make people think that other, you know, I've talked to people that think people are chasing them. Nobody's chasing them. Devil's got them convinced that somebody's after them.
Amen.
Devil's got one lady convinced that somebody's voodooing her. Who doing her? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you listening to me? All right. Now, so I'm a spirit man. I got to get my spirit right with God. But when my spirit becomes right with God, I don't immediately cease from worrying. What happens to me then is I need to begin to do the things in the word of God so that I can live free from worry. Because when I'm free from worry, then I'm able to come up with the solution. Oh, yeah, let me give you that scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because I need to know that even though I am under the attack of the enemy, yeah. Yeah, for chapter 10 and verse 13. I need to understand that even though I may be tested and tried, I need to know that God hasn't forsaken me.
Amen.
So a lot of people think that when they're going through something, that God has forsaken you. You lost your job. God doesn't like me anymore. I told you that. The devil probably told you that. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know, the doctor gives you a bad report. And the devil brings up something you did 15 years ago and say, huh, see, God getting you now. All right, look at verse 13. There hath no temptation or test or trial, is what that word means, taken you, but such as is common to man. You are not the only one.
Amen.
That's the first thing the devil said, you're the only one. You see everybody else in that church? See how happy everybody else is? And your husband the only one acting like that. Hallelujah. Glory. I better not do that. Let me give you on with the word. All right. So it's coming to man. Others, you're not the only one going through the type of challenge that you are going through.
Amen. Amen.
Because the devil will try to isolate you with that. You'll think, poor me. Why me, Lord? You understand what I'm saying? How many know I'm right? How many know I'm right? Oh, wow. Glory. All right. All right, let's go on. All right. But God is faithful. Amen. Who will not suffer or allow you to be tested above that you are able. Amen. It did not say that God was testing you.
Amen.
Some people take this scripture and say, the Lord said he wouldn't put any more on me than I was able to bear. The Bible doesn't say that.
Amen. That's right.
Honey, you know how it is. God won't put any more on you than you're able to bear. No, that's not the Bible.
Amen.
It didn't say God was putting this on them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It says God will not allow.
Yeah.
To suffer means not allow.
Yeah.
All right. And let's see how, let me show you how. He said, he will not suffer you to be tempted or to be tested above ye are able. In other words, God will not allow the devil to crush you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I don't care how he comes. He may come in like a flood, but bless God, God won't allow him to hurt me.
Hallelujah.
I mean, it's word. Now, let's see what he does so the devil won't crush me. Right here in the word. But will with the temptation or with the test, with the trial that's being put on you by the devil, also make a way of escape.
Glory to God.
Glory. He will make a way to escape.
All right.
See, but if you weren't, you won't find the way. Because he can't talk to you if your spirit is all clouded up with that negative information. He can't get through to you. You're too busy listening at the devil telling you you're going under. You're too busy listening to the devil telling you you're going to get put out.
Yeah. Hallelujah. All right.
You can't hear that God's trying to give you the solution to your challenge.
Amen. All right. Amen.
You better hear me tonight.
Amen.
You're too overwhelmed with reading the newspaper that everybody's losing their job, so you're going to be the next one. Bless God, I know I'll be the next one. I know it. But the Bible says that God has a way of escape for you. I mean, I didn't say it. The word says. All right, now, so he's got a way of escape for me. And how does God give me? How does God talk to me? Well, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He talks not audibly to me, although you may hear the audible voice of God. And have been several times in my whole life, I have. But that's not normally how I hear from God. God is spirit, and he talks spirit to spirit. You are spirit, and God talks to your spirit and reveals it to your consciousness. But if you are so worried, you won't be able to understand. You won't be able to get anything from God.
Amen. All right.
You're too busy seeing yourself fail. You're too busy seeing yourself out there, and then you play that done somebody wrong music about somebody who went through the challenge you had and they lost all they had. You go listen at the blues and all that junk.
Yeah.
Putting all that junk in your spirit.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4 and 23. Yeah, you putting all that in your spirit. You trying to, I need to hear some music. I need to cool out. Hear some music. So you go get one of them little round cigarettes that you have to make yourself. Keep it together. And you light it up. You sitting there smoking, coasting out, listening at your music, turn the lights down low, and listen to your music, and there's somebody else talking about on my own. Better stay there with that husband. Yeah. You better stay there at home. You're under the roof and the protection of your parents, your mother, and your father. You better stay there. Listen to that girl talking about on her own. She wish she wasn't on her own. You're going to wish she wasn't on your own. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. I counseled with one of my members the other day, and it wasn't the other day, so you don't know who came through this church, so you don't have to worry about it. But anyway, there's a guy who said he had to listen to his music, and he finds somebody that's going through what he's going through, and he listens to that. Now, why you don't read the word? All right, you got that Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of my spirit flows the forces of life. Jesus says that the spirit of a man is like a factory. What is in your heart, what is in your spirit, will produce in your life.
Right.
What is in your heart, what is in your spirit, will produce in your life. If belief is in your heart, then if believing in the word of God and the promises of God are in abundance in your heart, then that is what will produce in your life. If fear and doubt and gloom, despair, sickness, poverty, lack, if all of that is in your heart in abundance, that is what is going to produce in your life. So the Bible says, I must guard my heart with all diligence.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Because my heart will produce what is put in my heart, and things get into my heart by what I hear, what I say, and what I see.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
So many times, if I will be free from worry, I must guard what I hear, I must guard what I see. It may mean I need to cut off the news. If all the news report is somebody got shot on the south side of town. Somebody got shot on the north side of town. Somebody got robbed over here. I don't need that junk. But how you gonna know what's going on in the world? How you gonna know what's going on in the world? What you gonna do about it? What you gonna do about it?
Amen.
Oh, what you gonna do about it? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be informed. Don't go to the negative extreme. Don't write me no letter about it either. Teaching all these people not to look at the news. I'm just saying it may mean that you need to protect yourself from some negative impact. And I surely do.
Amen.
Somebody come and say, have you heard about the Midnight Rider? Killing folk on the north side. The who? I didn't read that. What chapter is that in?
Praise the Lord.
I'd rather read that my angels are protecting me from him than read the report. So every time I see somebody, is he the one? Are you listening to me? So I need to guard my heart. I need to watch what I see. I got to watch what I say.
Hallelujah.
Because the Bible declares, I will have what I say. Life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? All right. Now, I think we've covered that. Let's talk about how I cast this care on the Lord. I need to know how I can cast it on the Lord. Because now, when I cast it on the Lord, what it does, it frees me from worry. So now, I can find the solution. Casting the care on the Lord does not solve the problem. Does not change the circumstance. The circumstance has to be dealt with. The situation has to be dealt with. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Don't tie up the light bill. It's got to be dealt with.
Amen. That's right.
Somebody's going to deal with it.
Amen.
You can deal with it or they will.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? So you need to get free your mind from worry, so now you can find the solution that God has to the problem. Are you listening to me? See, that's why a lot of people don't believe that they are saved. They are not fully persuaded on the word of God. The Bible says that thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Period.
Amen.
Didn't say you got to feel anything. Didn't say you got to see anything. I know somebody told you way back there in the country that grandmother said that they sent her back to the woods so she could see something before they believed that she would say. Maybe so, but that's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
And I'm not arguing with grandmother's experience about seeing something. She may have, but the Bible doesn't say you have to do that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And a lot of people are not, they don't believe that. They believe that they got to have some goose pimples. Something hit me in the top of my head and ran down to the soles of my feet. I knew I was saved. Well, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't care what hit you. And you may be saved and something hit you, but you didn't get saved by whatever that was that hit you. I've got to make a willful decision, a quality decision, to believe what the Word of God has to say concerning the challenge I am facing.
Amen.
Now, I've got to find what the Word of God has to say on it. And I better not wait until the challenge is there to find what the Word of God has to say on situations.
Amen, that's right.
Then it's many times then you're in frustration and you can't get faith in.
Amen. Amen.
That's why you take advantage of times like these.
Mm-hmm.
See, you prepare for war in peacetime.
Amen. Amen.
You don't wait until you got a war and say, well, I believe we ought to, I mean, I think we should be, I think we ought to have a draft. Yeah. No. You find out where your eligible fighters are.
Yeah.
Before time. So you need to be stacking and storing up on the Word now.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now is the time you ought to be doing it. You got it? So I need to find out what the Word. And when I find out what the Word of God has to say, in spite of what the circumstances say, I will decide. I will make a willful decision to believe what the Word says. I don't have to feel like it. I got to believe it. It is a matter of your will. You can will to believe or you can will not to believe. Then I must develop a faith confession on what I believe. I've got to learn to speak God's solution concerning the challenge. A faith confession is a statement made in agreement with the will of God and the Word of God in spite of what the circumstances look like.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to share with you how to make up some faith confessions too in just a moment. But I've got to do that because then I began to operate in a spiritual realm. And I already told you that when spiritual power is released, even though you don't see it, something's working.
Amen.
Something is working to affect my physical circumstance. When I began to release, when I began to pray about it, and what I pray is my desire. I don't pray the problem. Many people think prayer is designed to inform God about your problem. God already knows. I read that to you in one of the scriptures. Prayer is not designed for you to inform God what's going on. He already knows.
Amen.
So you had to go to sleep and he didn't. So he probably knows more than you know about it. So prayer is not designed to inform God. He already knows. Prayer is a tool given to the believer that he can release his faith through to move the hand of God into his circumstance.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? So I developed a faith confession and I began to pray that desire. Father, I thank you that your word says every need is met. I don't care if the bills are this high.
Yeah.
Saying I don't have any money is not going to release any faith.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's not going to release any faith by you calling those things that are.
Amen.
Romans chapter 4 verse 17 says, we call those things that be not as though they were. Because there is a principle in the Word of God, a spiritual principle that we speak our worlds into existence.
Amen.
You have what you say.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And most people speak what they see.
Amen.
Not what the Word of God says. If the bills are piled high and they don't have any money, what they say is I'm broke and I'm going under.
Hmm.
And you have
what you say.
See, your faith works for you.
Amen.
It works for you. You have what you say. So you say you're going under. It works.
Amen.
See, it works. Amen. Are you listening to me? All right. then not only do I, when I began to confess the word, and listen to what I'm doing now, when I began to confess God's word, his solution, his outcome is that every need is met. If there's a sickness, his outcome is that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Well, what am I doing there? I'm feeding information into my spirit because I'm hearing the solution. And that's getting down into my spirit. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm building my faith. I am releasing faith into that situation.
Amen.
Though invisible, though the bills may still be piled, I'm releasing faith.
Yes.
What I got to lose?
Amen.
If I say I don't have any money, that's not going to change anything.
Amen.
I do have the word of God that says if I call those things that be not, I can have what I say.
Yeah.
So I have nothing to lose.
Hallelujah.
Right? I mean, I have anything to lose.
Amen.
All right. Now, then I have to have the proper corresponding action. I have to do something. I cannot say I believe God supplies all my needs when I need a job and then sleep till 4 o'clock in the evening and get up and say I believe every need is met.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, let's see what's on television now. No.
All right.
Faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? There must be the proper corresponding action. The proper, now what is the proper corresponding action? That all depends on what the circumstance is. According to the word of God, then they ought to take the proper corresponding action. We'll get into some specifics on that. Now, let's say for instance, I have a financial problem. And if I have a financial problem, I understand that I can release faith on the financial problem by confessing the word of God on it. But I also must do what the word of God says do concerning finances. Luke chapter 6, verse, you just write these down. Luke 6, 38, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Malachi 3:8, and 3 John 2. All right? Most of y'all know that. A lot of people in our viewing audience never heard of them. All right? What I do is, the Bible says that if I want men to give into my bosom, then I have to give. So I began to sow a seed.
Amen.
I sow a seed.
Amen.
It says, Luke 6:38 says, give, and then it shall be given unto me. So I began to operate according to spiritual principles.
Amen.
And when I began to do that, then I know I have the power of God released into my circumstance because God's not going to lie to me.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
So if I give, the Bible says it'll be given unto me.
Amen.
That's why I tell people, especially those people who call on the phone, and our counselors always ask them, you know, we ask them if they want to become partners. They say, well, I don't have any money. You got to give something. That's why in our services, many times we ask people if they don't have anything to give. We give them something to give because you got to sow a seed.
Amen.
That's just how the system works.
Amen.
All right. Malachi 3:8 talks about the tithe, giving the tithe. And when I give the tithe, what happens is I get the windows of heaven blessing. We've already been through that in several sessions, that the windows of heaven blessing is not money falling from the sky, not money trees growing up, but God gives me insight into finances. It is God, Deuteronomy 8:18, it is God that giveth thee the power to get wealth so his covenant may be established.
Amen.
God will give me the ability. He gives me wisdom. He gives me the know-how to make money.
Amen.
I just go and see it. That's what he does. He gives me the know-how to make money.
Glory.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. If my challenge is in the area of healing, let's say I'm attacked in my body by sickness, then I know what the word of God says. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, 1 Peter 2:24, then the word of God says that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. That's what the word says about my condition. That's the report I choose to believe. I choose not to believe what the doctor says.
Amen.
The doctor may say I have solubility, whatever it is, you know. And that wasn't tongues. That was just undescribable, unnameable disease. If he says I have that, Then I don't walk out of the doctor and, well, you know, I got, and boy, you know, people, some people can call the names of them things. I know people can call them medicine names, man. They can't call some of these names in the Bible, but they got all the medicine names, man. Give me my, I take 15 grams of whatever, you know. I mean, they long names, and they got them down, You know? You ask them to pronounce Deuteronomy. I can't say that. Or Mephibosheth. I can't say that. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, Mephibosheth, name in the Bible. You know, I just thought I'd bring up one. All right. So what I would leave there saying is I'm not moved by that doctor's report.
Amen.
The word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Now, I know when I say that, according to the word of God, saying, I believe I'm healed, I'm releasing faith to receive healing. If I say, I believe I got ublium, then that's not going to help the situation.
Amen. That's right.
Right? So I can make a quality decision if I want to get well. Now, if you want that disability check, then you some people don't want to get well. We know that. Only hands on me. Cut my check off. Well, you better stay away from me. Glory, I want to see you well. Hallelujah. All right. All right. So I develop a faith confession based on those two scriptures. In other words, I take those scriptures, describe what God's solution is for a sickness, and that He wants me well. That God wants me well. And then I must have the correct corresponding action to receive healing. The Bible says that believers lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I'll go to someone so they can lay hands on me. Or I will get in agreement with someone. In agreement for, I'll get prayed for, I'll get anointed with oil, I'll have the correct corresponding action as described in the word of God so that I will put the proper action with my faith. Faith without works is dead. Then a lot of people have the fear of dying. And you can die before your time.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
But Psalms 91 and 16 says that He satisfies me with long life. So I choose to believe Psalms 91, 16. I choose to believe Psalms 91 and 16. I don't care what the statistics say. That doesn't bother me. And somebody, when we have been programmed that if it's your time, you got to go. You're not going to go before your time. That is a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen.
Bible says He will satisfy you with long life.
Amen.
And the Bible, it's another lesson that I can't go into now. You can die before your time.
Amen.
All right? Then there are other, all right? So then I believe that and I walk in that, and the proper corresponding action to that is I began to take those death words out of my vocabulary.
Amen.
You don't hear me saying I'm tickled to death.
Amen.
Child, I could just die. No. I have what I say. Oh, no. No. I don't play with that. When people around me and they talk like that, I just say, that's you. You know, I don't do that. No way. And there's this song, I was at this church and they sang, before this time, another year, I may be dead and gone. Not the kid. I ain't singing that verse. Y'all can sing that one. I'll be around here next year. I'm not satisfied yet.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, you're getting too technical. Well, I'll roll you. I'm going to bleed the word.
Yes.
I'm going to stand on the word. And when I get satisfied, I'm going to check out.
Amen.
I ain't decided. Me and Bridget ain't decided yet when we want to check out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We ain't satisfied yet. Too many folk need to be saved. Got too much work to do. Hallelujah. And there are a lot of people who are afraid that the devil is on. I had a guy call the other day and said, man, tell me how to get this devil off my back. Tell am I? That we wanted to know. Well, see, I don't have that challenge. For Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. I develop a faith confession from those two passages of Scripture. And one of the faith confessions that I have is that I have been delivered from the powers of darkness. The devil has no power over me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Are you listening to me? And then Luke chapter 10 tells me that God has given me authority over the ability of the devil. So I got authority over him. He doesn't have it over me. So then I develop my faith confession and I take the proper corresponding action. And the Bible tells me what to do to get the devil off of me. He does not get off of me by singing. He does not leave me alone by whining and crying. What makes the devil flee from me is when I take the word of God and tell him what the word of God says.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? And then what I must do is I must control my thought life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it tells me if I'm going to be free from worry, I've got to control my thought life. Because even after I confess the word and quote the word, the enemy will come back to try to torment me with thoughts of failure, thoughts of fear. But the Bible says I can cast down imaginations. And every high thought, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, what the word of God says. If I get a thought that's not in line with the solution that I saw in the Bible on the what the word of God said according to my challenge, I cast that away. Oh no, I'll not think about that. How do I cast it off? I replace it with the word of God. I confess the word of God when the devil is trying to tell me doubt, doom, and despair.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And then it says I can bring into captivity every thought.
Amen.
I've got to bring my thoughts in line with the word of God. And finally, what I do is I praise God until the solution and the manifestation comes.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 talks about the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. I must then begin to praise God. That's why it's so important that you get here to praise God. And it's so important that you praise God at your homes.
Amen.
You don't just wait till you get here. It's good to praise here as a collective body. But I gotta tell you, daily you ought to praise God. The Bible says praise stops the enemy.
Amen.
That God has ordained praise to steal the enemy as I praise God. That's why I'm not ashamed to raise my hand. Glory to God, and I give him praise with my lips. Don't care who see me. Don't worry about them, because I'm not doing it so they can think I'm spiritual. I'm doing it so I can stop the enemy. I'm doing it so I can release the power of God into my life on my circumstances, because I got things I got to do.
Amen.
Amen.
And I got to tell you, when I began to do that and I enter into the presence of God, I fellowship with him. I praise him. I began to worship him. And when I say, oh, glory to God, I just become overwhelmed with the power of God, the presence of God. And when I began to rehearse in my mind, see, praise is talking about what he's done for you. When I began to rehearse in my mind what he's done for me, where he's brought me from, when it looked like at one time I wasn't going to make it, how I did make it. And when I began to thank God, oh, glory to God, then I look for the devil. Well, where'd he go? Because now I know I'm going to make it. Are you listening to me? My mind is free from worry. No longer am I thinking doubt, gloom, and despair, but I'm looking now. My spirit man is searching. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. My spirit man is now searching for that answer, for that way of escape. I've released the force, the spiritual force in the earth realm, and the angels are now out helping me.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is out talking to folk about my situation, talking to folk about my challenge that I'm going through. So I don't get frustrated while I'm waiting on the answer. I just give the sacrifice of praise. I give glory to God. But my ear is still in tune. I'm still listening now, because as soon as God tells me to do something, I got to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Are you listening now?
Amen.
So I can walk around. Demons dog my steps. No problem. Because I got the word.
Amen.
My mind can stay free.
Amen.
I can receive the answers to my challenges.
Amen.
And I just keep going higher and higher and higher. And then people wonder, how's he doing it like that? The greater one. He lives in me. Yes, there is an enemy who is outside, but there is one who is greater who lives in me. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.